Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
Thank you, Father, that tonight we are here by divine design. We're not here by chance, and we want to see you. Lord, the world wants us to see other things, but we want to see you. And we cannot see you, Lord, without the Holy Spirit and the working of your Spirit in our lives and in this place. Lord, we pray that the scales will fall from our eyes and the veils will lift, so that we'll truly see you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, that you set us free tonight, Lord, to walk in our purpose and the fullness of that life for which you died. We are here not for ourselves, Lord. We're at Varsity not for ourselves. We're here to glorify you, to make your name great, to show the world that Jesus is alive. And we thank you, Lord, for that freedom tonight as we come to you and we sit under your word in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read a story in the New Testament. My name is Sias. I'm a pastor here. I studied 3 or 4 years ago here. I was there in Eendrach some years ago. I think it was like 5 or 6 years. Just put like 20 onto it, okay? So any Eendrach people here? In Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, and again he entered Capernaum, and after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. This is not Jesus. Verse 2, immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. I love this about Christ. The crowds ran to Jesus. Jesus is very attractive in his heart. The Bible actually says that he wasn't that good looking. Isaiah says that. So forget about the pictures of this man. It's normally like a white man with long hair and this beautiful blue eyes. But the Bible says actually that he wasn't. He was probably more Arabic type of color in any case. So I think some people are going to get a bit shocked when they get to heaven and realize that Jesus wasn't completely white. But in any case, he was Jewish. So verse 3. And then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by 4 men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And so when they had broken through, they laid down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Verse 8, but immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to this man, the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house." Immediately arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." I remember, I think it was three years ago, we as a church have a lot of missions, and every year we send, just from this congregation, I think about, we sent 280, how many people, Nareen? Last year, June, 280 people going all across the world, and especially in the Malayan network, in Nepal and India and those places, I think to 40 different countries. And so if you become part of this family, you're going to go. You know, God is going to send you. We're not here to play church. We're here to fulfill what God has called us to do, and that is to make his name great in the nations, but also here on the campus. But here we see the story of this man, and I remember going there to a place right in the northern parts of India. We drove over the mountains, and even in Stellenbosch, this is not mountains, these are hills. I don't know what they'll call the people from the Free States. Where's the Free States people? Any Free States people? Okay, that's like low bumps, okay? Skoonwinkel bumps there on the other side, you know? But there you've got real mountains, 4,000 meters up there, up in the Himalayas. Remember driving over these hills down in the valleys, and we're coming to this pastor, and he's a Nyaga. Now, the Nyagas are from the northern eastern parts of India, and a couple of years ago, they were headhunters, meaning that they would go in, kill other people, cut off their heads, put it on a pole and brag about it and make a big scene about it. And then missionaries went into Nagaland and started to spread the word of God and people got saved. And today, 90% of Nagas are born-again Christians. And they're taking the message of Christ into Tibet, into different areas. But here where we met was this pastor. He was one of the main gangsters. And as we met him and we spoke to him, he started to share his testimony. And he had a school with a lot of young kids and taught them English. And he was in that valley a couple of years ago and God sent him back. But when he was there the first time, he would cut off people's heads and put it on the pole. And after he got saved, God said, go back to that same people and go and minister my forgiveness and ask for my forgiveness. Go and tell them who I am and how somebody can change a life. And that's crazy. Because you won't find that. The same with Stephen Lunga that's coming next week. You're going to miss out if you don't hear. His wife, Auntie Lungu, is going to be here as well. So that's going to be the first time that she comes. Now, she is a powerful lady. She was raised from the dead at the beginning of last year. If you don't believe that, come, let her pray for you. Okay, you may die in the process and get raised from the dead. But I remember him telling a story of being up there in the northern parts of Rwanda where the Tutsis and the Hutus killed each other. And this two friends, the two brothers killed their neighbor's son. And they played soccer with the head of this boy of the neighbor. Very gruesome, awful story. And then God told him to go in. And as they went in and went to the prison where these two boys was and started to minister the gospel to them, and they broke down, they repented. And then he went back and he told this lady of the son that was killed, told her that about what was happening. And then this lady, and he asked her, are you willing to forgive those two boys? And she said, yes. And so she went to the prison with him, ministered to those two boys, and they just cried and asked for forgiveness. And she repented, and not repented, just forgave them. And this beautiful story of reconciliation of hearts, hardened hearts. And eventually the story is like this, that this lady went out and she went to the authorities and said, look, yeah, I want to adopt those two boys that killed my son. Because God isn't just in forgiveness, God is into restoration. And here we see this amazing story in Mark in the beginning of a crowd like this tonight, probably a little bit less. And in the middle of Jesus preaching the word, there's a bit of an interruption. Somebody makes a hole in the roof. And they lower this guy on a stretcher. He's paralyzed, lame. And so here comes the scene of this man coming right to the front. And these friends, the Lord is very excited about the friends. And that is very important for you as a believer, or even if you're not a believer, if you're a student here. I tell you, if you don't make the right friends, if you don't have friends around you that have faith in the times when you are paralyzed, in the times when you are discouraged, those friends will drag you down. They won't make a hole in the roof for you. But here we see this confrontation, because there's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're sitting on the one side and they're thinking like crazy. Watch now what this man says, yeah? And there's this beautiful scene, because now everybody says, now maybe he's going to heal this man, maybe he's not going to heal this man, but there's a bit of a tension. And then as he comes down, Jesus says the most profound words. He says, your sins are forgiven. Now, according to Jewish tradition, that was blasphemy in the highest level. That was like, whoa, right there proclaiming that you have the authority as a man to forgive sins. And that's why, you know, they're sitting there and they are in their minds and in their hearts, they are reasoning, they are going for it. And isn't it amazing that the Lord knows your heart? He knows even what you think. He knows what's going on. Maybe the tension. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you think like, oh, I want to get out of this place. Too many people, you know. But he knows your heart because he drew you here tonight. He knows the reasoning, the fighting sometimes, the resistance, sometimes the running away from him. He knows exactly what's going on. And you know what we can do is we can approach God in that way of saying, yes, God, heal me now and give me a breakthrough and help me in my studies. Or you can realize there's something much deeper that Christ wants to give you. And what's going to happen, especially for the first is you've seen that, there's great fun. You're going to have great times running up and down, walking yourself 20 kilometers a day, this way, that way. The people from Gauteng, I saw some of them ending up here in the Bird Street at the bottom, and they got lost, and then there's, you know, just like, where are we, you know? And then I just say, look at the mountain. Just always look at the mountain, those things up there, you know, find your direction by the mountain. But what are you going to find your direction by as you walk? Is it the Word of God? Is it what Christ can bring to you, which is a freedom inside, not a freedom outside? And like Nats have said, you know, there's such an identity challenge here. Even the university, and I'm going to say it very straight, they want to pump your head full of knowledge, some of them. Some of you already sat under these sessions. Are you a man? Are you a woman? Are you a this? Are you a that? Is everybody this? Is everybody that? Well, the Word of God defines who you are and who we are. The world has gone crazy just in where we're going and what direction, because everybody else tries to define everybody else. But praise God for the Word of God. It's the rock on which we stand. It's the thing that sustains us. It's the thing that will not change. The only constant in your life is God. The only thing in your life that you can trust, the only person that in your life that you can really 100% trust is God, because He cannot change. Everybody else is going to change around you. And so here we talk about forgiveness, and that's why these Pharisees and Sadducees, they were the learned guys, the theologians of the day. And that's amazing. Religion will always oppose the moving of the Holy Spirit. Religion will always reason out that, you can't do this. But you know the amazing thing is when Christ says, your sins are forgiven, He's already seen the cross. He's already made provision for that fullness. Because in the Old Testament, you had this big word, atonement, meaning a covering of sins. But the sin was never taken away. It was always just covering so that there wasn't judgment or people didn't die on the spot. So the Old Testament seems a bit harsh, but when Jesus came, He took our sins away. And that is the greatest gift that you and I can ever have, is the freedom of guilt and shame. The freedom of what you've done that God does not hold it against you anymore once you've come under the blood of Christ. And He says to you, you are forgiven. He says He removes your sins as far as the east is from the west. Where's the east? Point to the east quickly. Where's the east? Where does the sun come up? The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, where is my sin? Gone. Because God gives you a new identity, a righteousness, when He starts to release you. And this is so beautiful about this story. Because the guys are reasoning and they're saying in their hearts, and God knows exactly what's going on. He says to him, look here, what is the easiest? To forgive sins or to heal this man? And so just to tell them that He really is interested not just in forgiveness, but also in physical healing, He heals the man. And there he walks. And you see the response of the crowd. They are going crazy. We have never seen something like this. And they're not referring to the physical healing. They're referring that somebody would stand up and make a claim to be God. Now this puts Jesus in one of two categories. Either He was a complete lunatic. That's why the Pharisees thought He was, and they killed Him. Because He claimed He was the Son of God. Or He was really the Son of God. So even if you and I are sitting here and we're embarking on this journey of this year and of studies and all of that stuff, you're going to have a lot of choices. Am I going to reject Jesus or am I going to accept His claims? But that also means the claim on my life, the freedom I can have to enter into a relationship with Him. And today, maybe you and I are not sitting like, hey, we're not paralyzed in a sense of physically paralyzed. But you know how the world paralyzes you? There's some of us here tonight, we are physically and emotionally, especially emotionally paralyzed. Some of us are spiritually paralyzed. We can't walk, we can't see. And so even when that lady says, Alyssa says, I am blind. but I can see. There are many people walking around, they can see, but they're blind. And that's what Jesus has come to do. He's come to take away the veil. He's come to tear the veil. That's what happened when he died on the cross. That veil tore from top to bottom. So, Yanni is lying up there. Some of you didn't see it because you were just checking out all the ladies and all the other guys. Huh? Sorry. There's a guy up there. No, I'm only joking. Everybody's thinking, there's a guy. But imagine I could take everything, all the baggage, all the fears, all the anxiety, all the stuff that you've brought here that you actually want to get rid of, and I could put it in that hammock up there, and I could lower it down. What would your prayer be when Christ stands in the crowd? Because he is here tonight. Lord, my fear of not being accepted. My fear of failure. My dad said to me, if you don't make it, you pay for yourself. I don't know. Do you know that the world motivates by fear? The world tell you what you, who you should be. But the world will also spit you out. So I don't know what tonight is maybe in that hammock of your life that you've brought with. And maybe you feel like, well, there's too many. I'm not good enough because, you know, there's a crowd and Jesus is ministering to those people. But I tell you, Jesus is interested in the one. He's interested in your life. But sometimes you need some people that have faith with you. Some people when you feel you can't anymore, some people that will just pray with you, some people that will say, hey, we're going to open up the roof for you. And that's called the body of Christ. That's called the church. But you know, we are experts at pretending. We're experts at hiding. We're experts at telling people out there that we're actually okay while we're not. Because I don't know about you, but I need Christ. I make a mess of my life. I used to grow up on a farm and I would stutter. I could not speak one sentence without stuttering. So if people came to visit, I would run a mile. I got saved, spirit-filled. Day after I got spirit-filled, I started speaking normally. And God said to me, now I'm going to use you to speak to other people. So every time when I stand here, I think like, this is crazy, Lord. This is a joke. That I must talk to these people. But the stuttering didn't come from just like a speech impediment. The stuttering came from a deep root of rejection. Because my dad said to me, you must perform to earn my love. You must be good enough. And you know, God in the heavens, and the God right here tonight says to you that you're all good enough because he looks at you through Christ. He says, I've come to set the captives free. So the choices that you and I have is a very simple choice, is who's going to define you? Who's going to be the people that even look when your hammock is lowered down and everybody else can see? And that's what Jesus has come to do, to set you free. To give you an identity, to give us a purpose, but it's his purpose. It's not that many churches say, oh, God has got a purpose for your life. He hasn't got a purpose for your life. God has got a purpose. And he invites you and I to be part of that purpose, his story. We call it history. And the most amazing thing, you're on campus today, you're going to see two sides. You're going to see people that walk in the light that has got a true freedom, and you're going to see people that are looking for freedom. And they're going to tell you, hey, don't be so conservative, eh? Sleep around with your girlfriend. Just go to the pubs and don't know where you end up at the end of the evening. Or you can say, I'm defined by what happens inside, not what happens outside. And that's the invitation of true freedom for you and I tonight. Maybe you just came with a bunch of people in your rears and you think like, oh, I want to have fun. But you'll never have fun until you see the eyes of Christ. You'll never have life because he said, I am life. He doesn't say, I give life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except in through me. Isn't that an amazing statement? Jesus, you are the life. That means if I don't have you, I don't have life. I'm trying to get life. See, there's two words. There's a res here called metanoia. Have you heard of metanoia? Woo! Okay, all the metanoia people. It was actually Christians in this church that gave the name to that res, because the university tried to mix all the reses, and they're still trying to just get no moral values, so that everybody just, that we become a secular university. That's why you have some of these talks that they try to brainwash you a little bit as to, no, there's no truth and there's no absolutes and there's no life, and just like, you know. So just switch off when you get all those speeches and say, I'm defined by Christ. Can I get an amen? Okay, so metanoia means repentance. It means to have a change of mind, of action, and of direction. You've been walking in this direction, and then suddenly you realize, whoa, I'm on the wrong road. I've been looking for freedom over there, but I'm going to metanoia. I'm going to turn back. I'm going to do it God's way. What an amazing place to have a change of mind, a way of thinking about who you are, about who God is, and about why you are here. 180-degree turn. And I love this, where Jesus saw the faith. The second thing is just, he saw the faith. He says, Scripture says it's impossible to please him, because you must, without faith, because when you come to God, you must believe that he is God. And the amazing thing is he is God. He is God. And he doesn't need to prove himself. So he invites you and I tonight to say, come and have true freedom. Come and make a choice. But this is not just an individual choice. It's a choice where you say, I want to start walking with a group of other people that has got faith. To when I feel exposed, when I feel paralyzed, when all this stuff, I'm going to know they're not going to condemn me. They're going to speak who Christ says I am. They're gonna begin to release it. That was what happened. I was in Paul Boys at school, and there was a teacher that just told me, you are a somebody. And I said, what? He said, and you're going to preach the gospel one day. I said, what? He said, you're going to be an evangelist and a pastor. And especially, I didn't even, never heard of the word evangelist. He said, you're going to preach to a lot of young people one day. And I'm grade 10. I'm thinking like, you're crazy, you know. What is a pastor and what is an evangelist, you know. But somebody could see how God saw me. So, sir, what's your story tonight? Where are you going? Is there somebody that can open up the roof for you? The Bible doesn't say the paralyzed guy had faith. It said these friends had faith. Friendship is a deciding factor. Scripture says, run with the horses. Run with those that can believe with you. The number one reason why people backslide on this campus is because of the wrong friends. And that's why God invites us to a place to say, we are here for you. I want every senior to stand that is not a first year or a newcomer. Every senior student. Okay, I don't know how we're going to have space next week, but we'll make space, okay? Because lots of them are still coming back. But there's 1,000 students in small groups, in places. I want to say to you as first years, we receive you. You're not here by chance. You're not just passing through. We have faith for you. And we will back you. We will be your family. We will believe with you. We'll pray for you. Because that's what family does. When you feel exposed, when you feel lonely, we're not living for ourselves, we're living for you. That you can become who Christ has called you to be. So we're going to pray a prayer. It's a spiritual prophetic statement that we're doing. And we're going to pray it over you. But the older people, you can also stand, because Auntie Mari, you can also stand. Everybody that, not just the people that's studying. There's lots of older families and young working people here as well. And we're going to pray that God will protect you and that he will make his face to shine upon you. We're going to receive you. It's a spiritual thing. So let's close our eyes. I want all the people standing praying with me. Father, we want to thank you for these amazing men and women that you have brought to this town. not just to study, but to know you and to walk in your ways. And tonight we receive them as a gift from God, from your heart, Lord. And Lord, tonight we pray that every weapon that has been formed against them, it will not prosper. We cancel every dart of the evil one. Tonight we cancel every lie, every false identity, and every false freedom that the devil wants to put on these amazing men and women of God. We celebrate them and we say, Lord, protect, cover, give your peace, your joy, and our hope in their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may all stand. We're going to...
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.